Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear. So I have heard this story many times over the years. I'm sure you have too. And I've always wondered, am I the good soil or the rocky ground? Am I the good soil or the hardened path? Am I the thorny soil or the fertile ground? And what must I do to be good soil? I bet a lot of you have had the same reaction to this story. And indeed, this is how it has been preached over and over again. Examine yourself. Are you good soil? Are you receptive to the word of God, or are you hard-packed, rocky, or thorny soil? And what are you going to do about it? I'm just going to give you a bit of a heads up here. That's not what this sermon's going to be about. There will be no finger wagging, okay? So just relax. Or just possibly, and more dangerously, we decide we are good soil. Look how fertile I am. Look what I have produced. I must be one of the blessed ones, not like those other soils. But recently, two of my favorite writers, Reverend Joseph Yu and Reverend Nadia Bolz Weber, posted on this piece of scripture and flipped my previous interpretation on its head. They pointed out that soil has absolutely no control out of what kind of soil it is. Soil is the result of location, weather, cultivation or neglect, all sorts of outside influences. Can rocky ground become fertile loam by an act of will? Can thorny ground expel the thorns that have infested it? Can a path decide not to be a path? No. In the same way, people often find themselves in a hard situation, a rocky situation, a thorny situation. So first of all, we're going to look at the path. Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on a path, and the birds came and ate them up. That path had been beaten down to the consistency of concrete. It had been trodden on so much for so long that nothing was going to sink in. It made for easy pickings for the birds. Soon all the seed was gone, reducing the chances of harvest to zero. Ask yourself, can that path become a garden, a welcoming space for growth? No. Without help, it's a path. That's all. And sometimes we are a path. We are hard and impenetrable. Sometimes we just don't get it when God drops his seeds of wisdom on us. Jesus explained, when anyone hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. Sometimes we are at a stage in our life where nothing sinks in. Maybe we are just getting by. Anything more than strategies for survival just bounce off of us. For a while at least, we are like the path. And then there's the rocky ground. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they didn't have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Sometimes a gust of wind will blow a seed onto rocky ground, in the crack between the rocks where a tiny bit of soil has been waiting. Or sometimes a seed will fall in the crack on a sidewalk. We've all seen that. And weeds start to grow. But usually things don't grow on rocky ground or on concrete. It takes a hardy northern jackpine or a native weed to have the tenacity to grow in those conditions. And whose fault is that? The rocks? Jesus explains again, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet, such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when troubles or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. Sometimes we hear about a good thing and think, this sounds great. But as we dig deeper into the effort required to maintain our enthusiasm, we find out we don't actually have what it takes to keep going. For whatever reason, sometimes we don't have the resources to nurture and support a new idea or a new way of living. Maybe we didn't have the education, or we don't have the financial resources. Soon, we become discouraged and lose interest. Sometimes we are like rocky ground. What about the thorny ground? Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. A garden or a field needs a gardener or a farmer. No carrots or potatoes, petunias or daisies can grow in a plot where thorns and weeds are allowed to take over. And is that the soil's fault? Jesus explained the thorny ground like this. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. Sometimes we are like thorny ground. We are so distracted by worry or activities or responsibilities, by constant information or entertainment, that there is no room for God's voice. This is the kind of world we live in right now. We have information overload, bad news overload, a heavy workload. We might be a full-time caregiver. We might have family commitments. Many of us have lives like thorny ground right now. But then there's the good soil. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That soil is fertile, soft, welcoming. The seeds sprout at the first rainfall and begin to grow. One seed becomes many. The harvest is bountiful. But ask yourself, who did this? The soil? Can the good soil take credit for the way it welcomed the seed and produced the crop? Did it create the conditions that produced it? Did it create the geological formations, the rain patterns, the organic matter that loosened it and enriched it? No. In the same way, can a person take the credit for having been raised in a stable family with enough love and food and care for all, for having had the means and the ability to learn and grow? Much of that is the luck of the draw, where you were born and when. So maybe the parable is not actually about the different types of soil at all. It's not called the parable of the seed. It's not called the parable of the soil. It's called the parable of the sower. It's about the sower. So I'm going to paint a picture for you of the sowers of the first century of Palestine. They are not like most farmers today, preparing the soil with fertilizers and pre-emergent herbicides, planting thousands of seeds in straight rows of tilled ground with air seeders pulled by tractors guided by GPS and operated by a joystick. I checked this with my niece farmer, so that is the way it's done now. In the time that Jesus lived, this is what sowers looked like. They walked their land with a bag of seed, reached in for a handful, and flung it far and wide, letting it fall where it may. Some fell on good land, some on not so good land. It was a much less precise way of planting. It's called broadcasting. They would then plow the land to bury the seed and wait for the rains. No irrigation, no weeding, just toss and wait. In the same way, the sower of the word is casting seeds far and wide. Every type of soil receives the seed. Every type. Whether the soil is hard-packed, thorny, rocky, or good, every soil receives the seed. That means every person receives the seed. It doesn't matter what situation we are in. It doesn't matter how receptive we are, or how busy, or distracted, or prepared, or mature. God scatters words of love and wisdom and strength and encouragement absolutely everywhere. God's love is for everyone. Maybe you're too young to know better, too inexperienced or untrained to understand what God is trying to say to you. don't worry. God is patient and gracious to you. God is sowing something in you. You will hear the word when you are ready. In the meantime, you are still under God's generous care. Are you overwhelmed with work and responsibilities, too busy to listen to what God is saying to you? This time will pass. God will be there when you have a moment to breathe. In the meantime, God will support and uphold you in ways you may not recognize until you have finally got the time to look back. Has life beaten you down? Are you barely getting by? Is it hard to lift your head or turn your ear to God? God is walking that hard path with you. You may not be aware of God's presence, but you are never alone. Maybe that is all you need to know right now. Or are you going through a time of great productivity and fruitfulness right now? Are you happily walking with God, bearing much fruit, learning and growing? What a marvelous time of life! Give thanks to the God who gave you your abilities and health and circumstances. Our God is the kind of God who does not place conditions on the scattering of love. God is reckless. God is generous, almost wasteful with love. God flings love everywhere, and it'll never run out because God is infinite. And God is love. Wherever God is, there is love. Did you know God is like that? Or did you imagine that God was just waiting for the right time, for the moment that you are really ready to appreciate God's blessings, when you would recognize God's gift and give thanks? It's not like that. Our God is an abundant giver, and our God is an abundant forgiver. Our God will plant seeds of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control willy-nilly all over the world just because that's what God does. You don't need to worry about living up to God's expectations. It's not a business agreement. It's not you live a certain way and God will reward you. Not at all. It's like being out in a rainstorm. The trees get wet, the grass gets wet, the river gets full, the farmer gets wet, the cranky guy down the street gets wet, the asphalt roads and the fields get wet, the kids dancing in the rain get wet. God's love is like that, pouring out on everyone, extravagantly, limitless. There's something else to think about. The reason God keeps scattering seed on seemingly fruitless soil. Every type of soil produces a different kind of harvest. What if you are beaten down, hardened like the path, but one day the rain falls and softens the surface, an earthworm wiggles a fertile tunnel, seed falls, and voila, it sprouts. What kind of harvest will you produce? You'll be singing the praises of a God who never gives up, loves you regardless, and works miracles of transformation. What if you are rocky ground, shallow and dry, but one day a bit of soil blows in, a seed sprouts, and a tree starts to grow? People will notice. Look at that crazy, amazing jack pine growing out of the side of a rock. Or how does that weed grow in that crack in the concrete? And they'll say, look at that woman flourishing in such a tough place. Look at that man growing in spite of his circumstances. What's going on there? That person will be singing the praises of God who can create a new life out of hardship and adversity. What if you are thorny ground, at the moment at least? Your life is a mess. You are buried by problems, distractions, and worries. But one day, along comes the gardener, pulls out the weeds, lets the sun shine in, and plants seeds of peace, wisdom, calm, and discipline, and they finally take. You will be the person who tells the world about a wonderful gardener who led you slowly but surely out of chaos. Every type of ground has its problems, but every type of ground has potential. It doesn't matter what type of ground you are right now. It won't last forever. The sower is scattering seeds in your life, seeds that will eventually take root and sprout and grow and produce a harvest of just the kind of life that God has in mind for you. So let's just take a moment to think about our wildly generous God.